Live
and local.
Across the city.
And South Cambridgeshire.
This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
The Lucy Cavendish Fiction Prize, it's a regular fixture now on the writing calendar and produced some brilliant winners. That must be very pleasing.
Yes, well, it's the 10th year now for the Lucy Cavendish Fiction Prize, and it has really gone from strength to strength. And over the years, we've had some fantastic successes. We've had First Book Award, Costa First Book Awards. We've had bestsellers. We've had people selling TV and film rights. It's really gone from a small kind of fairly unknown prize to something that's now a really major event in the fiction calendar, which is a fantastic achievement by the whole team who've been running it over the years.
And you get thousands of entries now, don't you?
Well, not thousands. We average between 400 and 500. This year is our second biggest ever entry, 400 plus. We've actually had to make a decision not to allow international entries because we were having so many people wanting to enter the prize. And the time for our poor judges is limited as it is. There's an awful lot to read through. And it was just becoming unmanageable because we like to have the same judges read every single book that comes in. And there's a limit to how many you can do unless it becomes a full-time job. So we very sadly had to say no international entries, only from the UK and Ireland. But I think we could go even bigger if we had the capacity.
So that is a lot of reading. When you sit down to look at a manuscript, what are you looking for?
Well, I think the main thing is unput down ability. And I think that's a very hard thing to define, what is unput down ability. But you almost know from the first five pages if you're going to love this or not. I should say, by the way, that we don't take complete novels. We take the first 50 pages and a synopsis of the rest. So it's obviously not quite such a major read as it would be otherwise. But within 5 or 10 pages, you can usually tell if this is going to grab you or not. And the advice we give to budding writers is we all know when we read, there's those times when you think, oh, I'm just going to skip over that because it's a bit dull. And you turn the page and I skip over that bit. So you reread your novel and you think, if that's a bit that I would probably skip over if I was a reader, then cut it. Writers don't like to cut stuff because they think I've spent hours crafting these words. But we tend to find the best novelists are the ones that have cut and cut again and gone through it ruthlessly and said, is this really grabbing the reader?
And you've announced the long list this week. What does it take to move from the long list into the short list?
Well, this is the really crucial time. The long list, many on the long list do go on to get representation and to get published, and that's fantastic. So even being on the long list, which is 22 this year, is a fantastic achievement. And they've done terribly well to beat the field of 430, I think it was, this year. But to get to the short list, which is always 6 or 7, that really is a guarantee of success. So if you get down to the last 6 or 7, you are virtually guaranteed a representation with an agent. You will then have all the powers of a big agent coming to help you refine the novel. And often quite big changes are made, but, you know, the novel is refined as an agent will do. And then you're very likely to get published and to go from strength to strength. And interestingly, I think our two biggest successes, one in particular, was Gail Hunnimann's Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine, which I'm sure you will know of.
Oh,
which
that's a brilliant
international
novel, yes.
Bestseller. Interestingly, she did not win the prize in the year in which she entered. She was shortlisted. So it just goes to show that you don't have to actually be the winner, but just to be shortlisted is enough. Our other great success, and my favourite of all time, is Sarah Collins' The Confessions of Franny Langton, which was 2 years ago.
Now she's great novel, yeah.
Won all sorts of awards. And again, she wasn't actually the winner. She was shortlisted. So getting to that 6 or 7 is really, really crucial. And, you know, any one of those 6 or 7 could become the next international bestseller.
And what is it that the 6 or 7 on the shortlist have that takes them above the rest of the long list?
They've all got something that makes them stand out as being different, I think. In particular, the two I've mentioned, Franny Langton and Ellen Oliphant, they're very unusual voices. They're voices that you haven't heard before. And they're carried through with great integrity. So you don't for a minute think, oh, this is someone writing about this person. You think, this is this person. So they're very authentic voices, and they manage to carry it right through the novel. I think that's probably the most important thing. Quite often we find novels and you think, oh, this is one in that genre, yes. And it's very, very good, but it doesn't stand out. But I think the individuality of these real successes is what's important.
And famously, of course, the award is open only to women. Some mm-hmm. critics might say, in this day and age, do we still really need an award that's just for women?
Well, we constantly face this criticism, and indeed Lucy Cavendish, the college where it started and in whose name it is actually going mixed from next autumn. So there's been another chorus of, well, we must open up the prize to men only. I think we still feel that there's a fairly unequal playing field when it comes to men and women in fiction. The men do tend to dominate all the big prizes, and we don't believe it hurts anybody for us to have the Lucy Cavendish Fiction Prize for Women, and for now it's a great success. It has discovered a number of female novelists that may not have been discovered without it, and so for now we're determined to carry it on. And the other thing that's very interesting about it, it is, and perhaps it is a female thing, all the shortlisted authors, and indeed the longlist, they tend to get to know each other and they become firm friends, and years on now there's gatherings of shortlistees together. They all keep together on Twitter and they have actual meetups when they're allowed, and there is a great sense of a family, the family of the Lucy Cavendish Fiction Prize, which I don't think you'd get with any other prize, and I wonder if you'd get if men were in it as well.
And this is your third year as a judge. Do you find that there are particular themes that emerge each year, that one year women are writing about one thing, or seem to be mainly writing about one thing, and the next year there's a preponderance of stories about another thing?
Yes, that does tend to happen a little bit. So when Eleanor Oliphant first came through, that was in 2014 when she was on the shortlist, and then we did have quite a few sort of following that genre of slightly sort of... interesting people whose voices aren't normally heard. I'm wondering if this year, although it's probably it's come late, so probably next year, I'm sure we'll have quite a lot about sort of lockdown and viruses. And indeed, this lockdown probably has prompted many, many people to try their hands at those first 50 pages of the synopsis. So we're expecting a bumpy year next year.
And of course, this year might be different, but when would you normally meet as a judging panel? Do you actually usually meet face to face?
Oh, yes, indeed. And very sadly, this year has obviously been very disrupted. The long list was already delayed, but it has just come out. The short list we were due to do, that should be coming out about now, but it's been delayed. And then the final panel, which is where we have the six or seven, where we all meet for quite a long time, usually in the sunny garden of Lucy Cavendish. I wish I could be there now. And that should have been in June, but that's now been delayed till September. And fingers firmly crossed, we're going to be able to meet in the Garden of Lucy Cavendish in September, but we're well aware we might be Zooming by September. We just don't know. So everything has been delayed, but we'll get there in the end, and hopefully next year we'll be back to normal.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall at those meetings, because I guess people sometimes go in with a particular favourite that they're arguing for.
Yes. You'll be surprised to hear those meetings go on quite a long time. There's seven or eight of us usually at those final meetings, and we nearly always have one that we think is the one. And then there's quite a battle goes on. I think we've even had years where we thought, well, can we have two? But we thought, no, we must put it down to one. And so we usually end up with a majority. But yes, we're all very different people. We all have very different backgrounds. We all have very different styles of novels that we like. So it is difficult. And as I say, it's quite comical, really, that quite often the one that becomes a big success is not the one we've all picked. So I think we're all quite sort of easygoing about, well, if one wins, that's fine. If it wasn't my particular choice, maybe my particular choice will trump it in the end. So that's fine. But they're very passionate meetings. Everyone feels very strongly about them. We all read them very carefully. We often read them twice or three times over. To make sure we really are fair. And then we are, to an extent, influenced by each other's views as well. We all bring different bits of history to the judging process. We have some novelists, we have some agents, we have a ghostwriter, we have myself, who's a journalist more than a fiction writer. We have all sorts of different people on the panel, and I think that's quite good. So, if it was all just other authors, that would be one thing. If it was all just critics, that would be another thing. But we always try to have a mix on the panel.
And we talked about what makes a good read. Are there common failings, if you like, mistakes, errors that you see in manuscripts that rule them out straight away?
I think one thing is excessive use of exclamation marks. Another thing is, I think quite often people will try and write in a dialect and then not carry it through very well. I think it's important not to do that too much unless you really know what you're doing. some try to be a bit too clever. They have sort of plots that by the time you're on sort of page 20, you've already had to turn back 15 times to work out who was what and what plot was what. So sometimes keeping it fairly simple is the best answer, really. We do actually at the college run a creative writing course, which has been very successful. And we have actually found we've got some entries from people who've been on the course. It's all anonymous, of course, so we don't know they've been on the course. And I think that's very useful at giving people tips. We have fiction prize winners taking the course and giving talks about what they do. I think that's been really helpful for people to learn the skills of writing a novel, because everyone thinks they can write a novel, but actually it's a little bit more complicated than that.
And what about you? What's your favourite kind of novel? What do you like to read?
Well, I'm quite enjoying contemporary fiction these days. I have to say, I loved Ellen Oliphant and Sarah Collins, Franny Langton. So, I mean, very different books, but again, very unusual. The kind of book that you wouldn't have found, I would say, 10 years ago. You wouldn't have found those kind of books. Very much our contemporary society and history. So the two together, I think, is what I tend to like. I don't really like crime novels very much.
Cambridge 105 Radio.